Hallelujah. Aren't you just grateful that we serve a God that is awesome? That He's a mighty God. That He's the incomparable one. That there is nobody like our God. Come on, celebrate Him one more time. Praise God. Praise God. And then, since you know we're teaching on emotions, with a little bit more emotion than you are using currently, please help me greet the person beside you. And tell them, welcome to church. Tell them you are in the right place tonight. Hug them if you can. Get a smile back. And then be seated in God's wonderful presence. Praise God. Okay, so without wasting time, we're still talking about emotions. And Pasquier has been teaching on emotions for the entire month so far. So I'm just going to build on what he's been teaching. And today I want to focus a bit more on how to manage your emotions. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to learn today how to manage my emotions. So I'm going to make it as real as possible, probably share a few of my own experiences on managing my emotions. Something Pastor K said on Sunday, Pastor K was teaching about different emotions, and then somehow he talked about the three major landmines. Can we remember? So can you tell me what they are? Number one, why do people start with money? Nigerians, people like money. Okay, money. And second one, sex. And then the third one, forgiveness. And so when he was talking about forgiveness, he seemed to be cracking a lot of jokes. Some people were laughing. My face was like stone. Because I didn't see anything funny about it. I don't know about the rest of you. But it was really very hard for me to understand why everybody was laughing. Like, I don't know if you've ever been tripped up by unforgiveness. Has someone ever offended you before? As anybody, why are you behaving? They don't offend you people. I'm the only one that is emotional. Has anyone ever offended you before? Mm-hmm. So when Baske was talking about forgiveness on Sunday, I sat there thinking, why is everybody laughing? What exactly is funny? Because this one thing that I'm holding, Baske wants to collect it from me. So if somebody offends me, they should just be going. As in just like that. Nothing will happen to them. Honestly, I felt that was a bit unfair. That even if I know the funny thing is that a lot of us might not agree with what I'm saying now, but towards the end of this message, I'm sure you will identify. Because there are two categories of people. The first one, the people that say, me, I'm not even offended. No, I've forgiven you, I've let it go. No, me, else, no. But you know that the thing is still inside, is eating them. And if they have any opportunity to do you back, they will take it. Then there's the second category of people who say, oh no, I've forgiven, but I can never forget. Whether you pretend to forgive or in your mind you've forgiven and you have not forgotten, it's the same thing in the eyes of God. It's still all unforgiveness. Praise God. That's why when Pastor K was talking on Sunday, I wasn't laughing because I wasn't finding it funny at all. Now, you see, one of the things I've learned is that God has given us tools to manage our emotions. And there are a wide range of emotions. Yes, some people are tripped up by something, some are tripped up by others. There are a wide range of emotions. Some people are even more emotional than other people. Okay? Some people are naturally more emotional. So I gave an example yesterday of my three children. They're very different. So the first one, Hadassah, doesn't send. If you're angry, it's your problem. She will just move on. Life is too short to us to be thinking. She will just move on. Or Patwata, she will tell you sorry and move on. Davida, if you tell her this phone you are holding is ugly, her face will just change. Why would they tell me this phone is ugly? Is it only when I'm the one holding it that the phone is ugly? Are other people thinking it they did not tell me? Am I the one making the phone ugly? As in, where she would take it to? You will not believe that we just told her a phone is ugly. The phone might not even be her own. She will be sad. David, on the other hand, he does not even know whether you are talking or not. Let's be plain. If the phone is done, hey, who would that want help? You know, he's just very bubbly. So I've learned that people are very different. And people feel things at different levels. Especially your personality types will affect how you feel things. So normally, I'm taking a cue from the university that we did a few months ago. Was it last month? I can't even remember. Last month. Cholerics, for instance, are largely very unemotional people. They don't understand what the fuss is about. If something is wrong, let's fix it. Why are we being emotional about it? Or somebody said something about you, or somebody does not like you. Who cares? Move on. They will catch up. Do you understand? Sanguines are too happy-go-lucky. If you don't like them, they'll find someone else who does. Or they'll just enjoy their life anyway because they cannot come and go and kill themselves and die. That's just how they are. Phlegmatics don't even have the power to be that emotional. It's not that deep. They will just carry their face. But melancholies, they will think about it, meditate on it, till it consumes them. So, because my first temperament is that of a melancholy, I had to deal with managing my emotions all my life. So, for instance, I was telling them yesterday that not only was unforgiveness a challenge for me. Now, you need to understand why I'm focusing so much on unforgiveness or unforgiveness. Pascal mentioned this as one of the major landmines. But for me, I believe that if you are going to be a Christian, you have to be a Christian. I don't know if you understand what I mean. I'm tired of people who say they are Christians, but they can't actually live out the word. So for me, if I'm going to be a Christian, it means that I'm going to do what the Bible says. It means that I'm going to live like Jesus lived. So for me, it was a challenge because unforgiveness doesn't come naturally for me. Forgiveness doesn't come naturally for me. So if somebody does something to me, I'm not only going to think about it. I'm not only going to meditate on it. I'm not only going to give off negative energy. I'm also going to think of a way to revenge. And I will never revenge immediately because I believe that revenge is best served cold. So we will be okay. I will be gisting with you. I will be laughing with you. I will be playing with you. You will need my help. I will give it. Then the day that it will pay you the most, probably 10 years from now, you will now enter my trap and I will be balanced and waiting for you. And by that time, I'll be telling everybody, make nobody beg me, oh, because when they do their own, I no talk. And that is not what God wants from us. That's not how God wants us to live. So I knew that becoming a Christian would be a major challenge for me in that area. So I had to find out, how do I manage my emotions? Because people don't, you see, for me, you know how they say people have love languages? Do we know the love languages? So usually, let me tell you what love languages also means. Love languages also mean that if someone offends you, they can do one of these five things and it will make you forgive them. Do you understand? So if you are a gifts person, if someone offends you, all they need to do is buy you a gift and you will move past it. If you're a words of affirmation person, all the person has to do is say, I'm sorry, praise you a couple more times, make you feel good about yourself, and you will forgive and move on. Am I right? If you're a quality time kind of person, all the person has to do is be available at all times. I'm for you, I'm for you, I'm with you. You will forgive and let go. If you're an acts of service person, all the person has to do is to do something for you that you've always wanted done, or to do something that will make up for what they didn't do. I don't know if you understand. Unfortunately, none of those things qualify me. Unfortunately, I'm not an acts of service person. I like to do my things. Because, first of all, if you even do something for me, you are stressing me because you won't do it exactly the way I want it done. Do you understand? So you can't offend me and say you want to do something to make it up. No. I like to be alone. I like my own space. So if you're around me, you are disturbing me. I'm stressed when there are people around me. Do you understand? I'm talking about my natural state now before Jesus came in. Because people are looking at me. Which kind of woman be this one? Now this thing, Pastor, okay, go marry, come. Hey, God, I beg you. And that in itself is a sin. That's your judgmental spirit. So I'm trying to explain to you why some things, and you know, and I need to understand how serious this is. So you understand why I had to go after the word to deal with it. Praise God. I don't know if you understand. Because the first step to getting healing on anything is knowing you first have a problem. You first accept it that you have a problem. Then it will be easy to say, oh, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to apply. This is what you need to drink. This is where you need to go. Do you understand? These are the steps you need to take. So you can't come and say you want to spend time with me. It disturbs me. When somebody says, I want to see you, ask my assistants. It why? 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 What do they want? Let them tell you what they want. You don't understand. It's not a natural thing from like having people around me. So you can't apologize to me by being around me. I'm the most, I don't know the word to call it, unmaterialistic person in this life. If you buy me something, immediately you give it to me, I'm thinking of who to dash. So you cannot buy me gifts or give me money to apologize to me. It doesn't work. Words of affirmation, they annoy me self. All this mama, the mama. Mama, what's all those things they call? All those things. So you see, that's why it's hard for people to offend me and I will let it go easily because there's nothing you can do to make it right. Do you understand? So for me, it was a long battle. And the biggest mistake you will make is to think that because I don't talk, right there, it's okay, that we are fine. No, we are not. If I don't talk, I'm more dangerous. So when I shout, immediately I finish shouting, I've forgotten about it. But if I tell you, oh no, it's good, we're good. I'm done. No, it's fine. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm so thinking about it. I'm meditating on it. I'm thinking about where to do you back. So when I found out that when you come into this kingdom, there's a way they behave. Oh. We're supposed to behave like Jesus. And how did Jesus behave? When you offend him, he forgives you as if you never committed the crime. Ah. When I heard it, I said, I've entered one chance. This born again, where I'm born again, no sure say go favor me. And unfortunately, when it comes to managing our emotions, one of the greatest enemies to managing emotions is excuses. So one of the first things Satan will tell you is that, but this is how you are. You do not make yourself. So if people tell you something and it makes you cry easily, that's how you are. No, that's not how you are. You can be and do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So you still need to apply the word. So people say things like, it's too hard. Me, I don't like stress. I don't like wahala. So somebody offends me, should just go, let me go my way. Or I've forgiven them more, but... And the interesting thing is, the reason why I'm using... The reason why I'm using forgiveness is that a few days ago, because I've been doing these 30 days praying the names of God. I've been doing it on Instagram. How many people have been joining in? Praise God. So a few days ago was El Jimoel. And it means the God who compensates the offended. And I said, every name I pray about God is a name that is personal to me. It's a personal encounter I've had with God. And so that day, when we prayed that name, I was talking about forgiveness and what forgiveness means and what is expected of you. You see, because when you are a child of God, we don't just live by how we feel. We live by the taste of the word. Okay? You can't live outside the word of God. You can't make it as a Christian outside the word of God. And the interesting thing is that every single emotion that you can possibly have, God has given you a solution to it in the word. So whether it is anger, he says, if you are angry, be angry, but do not sin. I don't know if you can put up that scripture. It says, be angry, but do not sin. In fact, it says you can be angry, but make sure that you do not go to bed angry. So God is not saying that. He's not denying the fact that we have emotions. Emotions are there. And the truth of the matter is that emotions will always be with you. But you have to learn how to manage them. If not, they're going to destroy your life. Now, anger, the problem with anger is not the feeling of anger that is the problem. It's the action that you take when you are angry and the consequence that it brings. That's why the Bible says that if you are angry, it's fine. Be angry, but do not sin. Because it's always hard to take back what you've done in anger. So you are angry, somebody offended you, are angry, and you go out in that anger, you go and stab somebody. Do you know that from that day on, even if you build 20 orphanages, you will always be referred to as that man we go keep person when he vex? Do you know that? You will always be remembered as that person who did something out of anger. So it's not the feeling that God has a problem with. Because in the first place, he put emotions within you. It is what you do with the emotions he has a problem with. So when you are angry, and I should know this because I used to be very hot-tempered. Very hot-tempered. That's why I say all the various type of emotions. Because I'm melancholy, you know, I can experience a wide range of emotions. So I used to be very hot-tempered. And why I know that anger is so wicked, and why God didn't say, when you are sad, don't sin. Didn't you notice that? He didn't say, when you are sad, in your sadness, do not sin. He said it only about anger. He didn't say, when you are afraid, don't sin. Did you notice that? I can't hear you. Did you notice that? He only said it about anger. You know why? Because anger in itself is a spirit. So anger comes and it takes over your body. I remember one day, I went to the market. Then I wasn't married, very single. I gave my tailor, I think I've even shared that story here before. I gave my tailor cloth. 3 weeks, this man has not put tailor's chalk on it, talk less of cutting pattern. The day before the wedding, the thing I needed it for, he has not touched anything. I went to Tedros Show Market. As I go there, I saw my cloth. I carried my cloth, slapped the man. Man, no, not small boy. Man. Slapped him, padlocked his shop, and carried my key and went home. Carried his key and went home. And the women in the market were begging me, hey, this. As in, and I was not like this, so I was one lenger somebody. But at the time, I wasn't thinking. I was so angry, I was seeing blood. Do you understand? That's what anger can do. Anger will shut down your senses. I know Pastor Kate says when you have sex that causes blood supply. Well, I don't know about that. May I know that anger and unforgiveness. In fact, I was telling them yesterday, unforgiveness doesn't only shut down blood supply to your mind. It shuts down blood supply to your heart. Or rather, oxygen to your mind shuts down blood supply to your heart as well. You don't think straight. There was one day I was going, I've shared it many times now. I was going to go and fight another tailor. Is this tailor's, eh? That's why I don't like to sew cloth. Just buy ready-made and move on. If you don't work, you dash person. As in, just your life is simple. I was going to go and fight another tailor. I fell inside gutter. And the gutter was right in front of me, but I was so angry, I couldn't see it. I'm trying to explain to you how intoxicating an emotion can be. That you won't even think. I've carried somebody, how many people know Mr. Femi? I've carried somebody as big as Femi before and slammed him on a car because of anger. And I was holding his neck like this. My brothers were flogging me belts. Leave him, you go kill him, leave him, you go kill him. I held him there, I said, go die, nothing. Go die today. And that's anger, do you understand? Anger can take over your entire being. So until you take what I'm saying is that the word of God must be stronger than what you feel. If not, you will never be able to manage your life. You will never be everything God wants you to be. Because anger is just an example. What about sadness? Is it not sadness that leads to depression, that leads to suicide? So when you are sad, why is my life like this? You are tired, you are discouraged, and Satan, being the bastard that he is, he will come and be whispering to you. You say, wait, nothing remains for this life. You say, hey, my life is finished. You say, completely. You say, nothing is happening in my life. You say, bam. See, it's as if I should kill myself before. And if I kill myself, nobody will miss at all. You say, should I drink poison fast? He would just be telling you, that's what will make somebody drive a car. They say nothing is happening in their life, but they have a car to drive. Drive a car to Third Mainland Bridge and jump in. It's emotion. It's not being able to manage your emotion. So when you are sad, the Bible says, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. So you are feeling down, but you are shouting, hallelujah, praise God. Things are happening for me. I don't care how I feel, but things are happening for me. I still, at least I have a life. I'm still alive. When there's life, there's hope. You know, you start telling yourself things like that. Then you start to count your blessings. Start to look around. The only reason why you think you don't have anything to thank God for is that you have not taken the time to count your blessings. If things are bad, God is the only reason why they are not worse. And that's something to be grateful for. So, he doesn't have a problem with emotions. He has a problem with your emotions controlling you. You need to control your emotions. So, yes, giving. People will offend you. People will offend you in this life. But God says, don't worry. I will compensate you. I will fight for you. You know, yesterday as we were going home from church, my younger sister was in the car with me. Minister Adichie. So she was saying that when I was talking about it, of forgiveness, that she's phlegmatic. So you should understand how they are. So she doesn't even think people have ever offended her like that in her life. That somebody, she can't think of anybody that has done anything to her like that. I say, my sister, the people who have offended me in this life, is enough for me and you. I can share some of my own so you can help me to forgive them. But, you know, I have encountered demons in human flesh. Like, I'm always shocked by how evil people can be. You'll be amazed at the depth of wickedness. Like, you genuinely in your heart be helping somebody, thinking that, this person, let me help their life, when they turn on you. I remember one time that, because I schooled in Ife, I remember there was a time that there are usually two communities that fight in Ife. So, Ife and Modakeke. So they were fighting at the time. And there was one particular guy who had been raising, there was a little boy who had been living with him. And the little boy was from Modakeke. And he took the boy in and had been training the boy through school and everything. So when they started fighting, he decided that he doesn't want them to kill this boy in his house. Because once you're Modakeke and you're in Ife, they'll kill you. There's no question asked. No, a friend of mine, a doctor, was killed during that period. He was a student. Not as in, they won't ask you questions. You just know, they know, they have informants. This one, I'm Mother Keke, out there. And it's machete. It's not, do you understand? It's not firing squad that they just shoot you. Not that kind of thing. They will machete you to pieces. When they went to beg to find the boy, they said they couldn't find him because they had cut him. That's our doctor friend. They had cut his body in pieces. So there was nothing to give them to go and bury. So this man decided, okay, this boy, I don't want them to kill him here, so I'm going to take him home, take him back to Mother Keke. So he went through all the wahala of pacifying the Ife people, passed through with this boy, smuggled this boy to Mother Keke. Immediately he took the boy into his father's house. The boy's father killed him. And then God will say, I will compensate. Look at what God says you should do. If that man's wife is born again, see what God says you should do. No. We are going to read it together. Because you were laughing on Sunday. Maybe it's only me. We all read it together so that we will know. Ha. Okay. So this is what God said. When people offend you, never hold a grudge. Wait. Do you know what never means? That's not ever. Not at any time. Irrespective of what this person has done to you. I'm going to say this Christianity favor, Sabi. He says, never hold a grudge or try to get even. Not only should I not be angry and feel like this person has done something, God said I should not try to revenge. He says, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others, including that person that has offended you. So this person has offended me. God still says I should plan my life in a way that it will still favor this person. Do you understand? Oh, okay. Is he entering? Oh, okay. So you will look the way I was looking on Sunday, so it will be good. The second one, please give me the second one. It says, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everybody. Listen, he didn't say see the beauty in everybody, because some people, he said discover. You know what discovery means? You have to dig deep. You have to look for it. So he says, discover the beauty in everyone, plus the people that have offended you. Next verse. Don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you. Is it fair? It says, but try to earn the respect of others. Next verse. He says, if someone does you wrong, don't try to pay them back by hurting them. Try to do what everyone thinks is right. Are you seeing what God is saying? You know, because on Sunday, Pastor K was saying that it was Stephen's prayer that triggered the conversion of Saul to Paul. And when he was saying it, I don't know about the rest of you, but I was just there sitting and thinking, some of the people that offended me, they ain't no Paul. So I ain't praying nada. Everything they have done, Lord, hold it to their charge. Because they cannot just come and go like that. And honestly, I mean, that's just the human side of me. Of course, I'll do what is right. But there's a human side of you that will think things through. And that side of you is the flesh. The flesh will always fight with God's instruction. So I'm sitting there thinking, God, you have no idea what these people have done. You have no idea. I don't think you know. And that is weird because Jeremiah 51:56, God's word translation says, a destroyer will attack Babylon. Its soldiers will be captured and their bows and arrows will be broken. He says, I, the Lord, am a God who punishes evil. I will certainly punish them. So this scripture, first time I saw it and I was meditating on it, it occurred to me that when he was saying a destroyer will attack Babylon, all I could see there was like, that people will come for me. Do you understand? God is saying that people will come for you. But don't worry, I'm the one who will punish their evil. They won't succeed. They will try. They will come for you. I mean, someone sent me a message recently of someone that she had, someone that she took from the village and raised and all of that, and that she just found out recently, she's trusting God for children, just found out recently that the girl, she had trained the girl had been with her from secondary school, trained the girl through university, and she just found out recently that the girl was pregnant for her husband. And so she was asking me that, what should she do? I don't know about the rest of you, but at times like that, I really wish I wasn't a pastor. Because of course, there's only one thing I can tell her. What is it? Forgive. But at that time, vengeance should be mine, Lord, was all I was thinking. And you see, there are people like that, walking about everywhere, looking for how to destroy your life, destroy your home. I mean, it was a man of God that was saying that he went to preach somewhere, and he went, as he entered into the host, the person hosting him, went to their house, and that's where he wanted to eat. So as they brought the food, as he just washed his hands, or put the food in his mouth, the Holy Spirit just said to him, ask the wife to come and join you and eat. As he called, he said, no, daddy. The man said, I say, you should join my daughter. Join me. And he said, daddy, no, sir. After a while, the man said, no, you must eat this food. As your father in the Lord, I'm saying, eat this food. She started crying. There are people paid her to poison him. So I'm telling you that there are things you will encounter that you will question whether these were really human beings or they are. That poisoning one, I've seen it live, face to face like this. Someone gave me something and God said not to eat it. I said, is this one video? I look behind me, clear as day. The Holy Spirit said, don't touch that thing. Don't put it in your mouth. It was later I found out that there was something in that food. And today, I greet that person and hug the person as if nothing happened. But did I get overnight? Of course not. Of course not. So it is in obeying the word. There's no way around doing Christianity without obeying the word. See, in the beginning, it may be hard. But as time goes on, your flesh will become quieter and your spirit will become stronger. Sometimes, I mean, this year, I did a lot of praying and fasting, and sometimes I shared it with people on Instagram. And someone sent me a message that, Pastor, every month now fasting and prayer. I say, my sister, the thing we're fighting against in this life is too much. You will not believe the things you are fighting or the things that God is saving you from. And you know the thing about God is that God saves you from things in such a way that when you come out of it, not only do you not even feel like you needed saving from anything, you don't look like what you've been through. That's the kind of God that we serve. So you will go through hell and high water and come out on the other side smiling. But you see, the thing is, when people offend you, mark my words, there are always consequences. God is saying, you release them. You release them. That's your responsibility. Release them, but be good to them. He says, never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. He says, do your best to live as everybody's friend, including the people that are doing you bad. He says, beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. Now, I need you to understand this. One of the other reasons why God needs you to forgive is because unforgiveness in itself is also a sin. And God is a righteous judge. See, you know when you see there's those scales, when they talk about law, you know that there are these scales here. I forgot what they're called, Sha. There's a term they call it, one, it's okay, you shall know what I'm saying. And it's for measuring things, Abby. You understand, hey. So the thing about God is this. God is a righteous judge. God punishes sin, okay? Irrespective of where it is coming from. You need to understand it. That's what makes him a righteous judge. And that's what makes him holy. That he's all one. He doesn't change his mouth. He's the same today, tomorrow, forever. So if he's a righteous judge, it means that he can't be partial. He's no respecter of person. What he does for A, he must do for B. So when God says you should forgive someone who has offended you, what he's telling you is that don't put yourself in the line of punishment as well. Because when you sin, there's a punishment. When they put the scale like this, sin is here. God will put that person's sin here. You too, unforgiveness. The person offended you, that's one. You, unforgiveness is a sin. They'll put it on the other side. Sin is sin. So whether it is that you're sleeping with somebody's husband or you are angry with somebody, God, see, it's us human beings that say one is more than the other. Pride, oh, unforgiveness, laziness. Can you love, but don't know laziness is a sin. Of addiction, gluttony. That's you can't close your mouth until you see you eat. Gossip, all is the same thing. So you can't say that girl, she's sleeping around, she's me, I'm better than her. You are sinner. There's no, all of us together is sin. So whether your own is that you talk to people anyhow and bring down their self-worth, or you are sleeping with somebody's husband, all is the same sin. So unforgiveness too is sin. So this person has offended you, God put it here. Sin, ready for punishment. You now come, instead of you to forgive the person that you'll be going your own scot-free, you now say, no, this person has offended me. I will not forgive them. God now says, oh, there's sin there too. They will now put it here and punish the two of you the same. So God wants you to go scot-free. So he's saying, I'm not saying this person will not be punished, but this person will not be punished by you. Are you people angry? So he says, but leave that to God's righteous justice. He says, for the scripture says, vengeance is mine and I will repay. Unforgiveness is also a sign of unbelief. If someone offends you and you don't forgive them, what you are saying is you do not trust God's judgment, number one. You do not trust God to be a fair and just God. And you do not trust God to keep his word. That's what it means. For me, forgiveness is one of the highest forms of faith. If someone offends you and you forgive, what you are saying is, God, I trust you. I know you are a righteous judge, and I know that this person will get their punishment. It doesn't concern me. So he says, now this is what you must do. He says, if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. Win him over with kindness. So all those here, me, I can't have anything to do with that person again. God is saying that. I'm not saying you should be friends with them, but if they ever need you, God is saying be available. Praise God. And you see, this is even when the person has not apologized. I want that one to sink in. Because sometimes we think we're justified to forgive only when the person has apologized. Even when the person is acting up. Even when the person is giving you attitude. God is saying you must still let it go. You know, how many of you know that when Stephen prayed that prayer, do you know that Paul did not apologize to him there? And the problem with, in fact, saying, on Sunday I was really thinking, oh, Kai, I don't know what people were doing, but me, I was thinking. I was just imagining Stephen there. And you know, Israelites, their own stoning is not tiny pebbles. It's not marble that they just stone you. It's not that type. It's rock. And you know, it's not like firing squad. Firing squad, they can aim for your heart. Twa, you are gone. Do you understand? Somebody can take you out like that. But stone. When they stone you, one will hit here. When the pain is still hitting you, another one will hit here. Then one will hit your chest. Then you fall. They will still, as in, and you know that when people are trying to kill you, don't die. Do you know? That's the time, eh? You'll be like dead chicken. You know, chicken, they don't die. When they cut the neck, it'll still be running. That's how you be. So they were killing him because they are stoning him. It's not after he prayed the prayer they started stoning him. They were stoning him as he was praying that prayer. So he was feeling the pain at that time. And they had not apologized to him. So that's your excuse that if this person apologizes to me, I'll forgive. It does not hold water. Jesus was dying for people who were abusing. I need to explain this thing to you because I don't think some people get it. Jesus healed their children. Do you understand? So people, today, if somebody gives you a lift from here to here, the way you will say thank you, how much more somebody, if you've ever had a sick child, has anybody here ever had a sick child? Even the doctor that helped you, you know there's a way you honor that doctor. So I'm talking about children that were dead. They had their dead raised to life. Jesus did party for them. He gave them sandwich, bread and fish. He wine finished a party. These were the same people, though, not a different set of people. Because sometimes at the back of our minds, we act like we think, oh, it's just some people that Jesus did not bless that gathered together to crucify him. They said the Jews, all of them. And I know some people there. I know them that they collected double sandwich that day. And yet, when they were saying crucify, the one was loudest, crucify him, crucify him. And you know some people are just follow. So when somebody would have come and said, what did they happen? Say, one guy with the one crucify. Hey, oh yeah, crucify. You don't even know what's happening. And these people, they were not only shouting crucify him, they were spitting on him, they were slapping him. Do you know that somebody, your junior in secondary school, cannot talk to you anyhow. Because there's a way you say, see this 1982 Pekin. 1992 Pekin, now they talk to me anyhow. I'm talking about somebody you created. This one you just senior around, nobody you say now you make him. This one God created, Jesus created, because without him nothing was created. So he was one that created all these things. Your child that you gave birth to that you do not create cannot talk to you anyhow. I'm talking about what you now created. That without you, they will not have existence. They were now there shouting. Do you think that if you are Jesus, you would die for them? Because they were abusing him, was still carrying the cross, still bouncing to go and die. And then on top of that place, when he now finally got on the cross because of them. Because I know that it is love that kept him there. It was love. Do you think he could not have brought down his hand? And as he would do his hand like this, all of them will feel slapped in the spirit. Yes, now, because I mean, ministers of God will blow breeze here. Everybody will collapse. So I also believe that Jesus would have brought down his hand with anger. And all of us will still be feeling the slap till today. Because all of us now follow crucify him now. But he didn't do that. He stayed there, stayed through it. And he was managing himself, collecting all that insult, managing himself. Some people now said, I thought he said he was the Son of God. He was saving other people. He should save himself now. No, but at that time, I will calm down. No, I don't like insult in my life. You can be doing rubbish. I'll be managing it. But I'm still helping you. You are insulting me on top of it. No. In the midst of all of that, after everything, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes, I don't know if this is the right interpretation, but sometimes this is what I think he meant. I don't know if that's what I think he meant. I don't know if that's what he meant, but this is what I think. When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think Jesus was saying that sometimes it's easier to forgive people when you know that they are ignorant or that they are stupid, that they don't have a clue as to what the gravity of what they are doing. They don't have an idea. So he looked at them and said, see this one. If I answer one, I don't know, go, let me just do what I need to do. And you know, I believe that even forgiving them was a challenge also. Because, see, you must understand that Jesus was fully man and fully God at the same time. So every emotion that you feel, he felt. Bible says that he was tempted at every point. Because sometimes when people read that scripture, all they think about is that maybe Jesus was tempted sexually because many women followed him. See, to the pure, all things are pure. Your mind is too carnal. Jesus was angry. Jesus must have had times when he was offended. For him to tell us that offense will surely come. He said, but blessed are you who is not offended in me. He said, offense will come. So there's no way in this life that people will not offend you. If they've not offended you yet, wait. They are working on it. They will get to you. They will get to you. Another reason why God wants us to forgive is compensation. Let me read that scripture, then I will say this. He says, for your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. So when you are doing good back to them, even though they've done evil to you, God will reward you. And you know one thing I've learned? If you are holding on to someone in unforgiveness, this is how your hand is. You can't receive anything until you let go, before God can put anything in your hand. So I remember many years ago, I've shared this story to you here. Many years ago, there was this friend of mine, for lack of a better word, who was very close to me, interestingly, very close to me. And at that time, I didn't have children. So she started a rumor in church and outside church that the reason why I wasn't getting pregnant was I was taking something to stop me from getting pregnant for Pastor K. And that I had put a law in church that, in fact, no, how exact words were, I'm never happy when people get pregnant in church. So I put a law in church that once you get married, you must not get pregnant within the first year. And this was not just said to show you the craziness of this kind of talk. It was said, the person actually stood up, went to my elder sister's house, who is not a member of this church, and went to tell her this kind of silly things, silliness. But that one didn't pay me. She went to tell my mother-in-law. So you can imagine the depth of. And then God said, see you. God said, don't hit back. Discover beauty in her. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Thank God for that clause, because I don't got it in me. Says, don't insist on getting even. He says, that's not for you to do. God says, I will do the judging. I will take care of it. Hey. I wanted to take care of it myself. I really wanted to march to our house. First of all, tear her to shreds with my words. Then now tear to shreds with my hands, beat the living daylights out of her, then go and put my gist in some newspaper. Pastor's wife fights and tears clots outside. I said, since we want to gossip, let's gossip. As in, I was mad. You know when you're livid? Livid. And it was so annoying because this is someone who we have been supposedly friends for years. Somebody who, when she was giving birth to her own children, I didn't have children. I was in the labor room with her holding her hand. When I travel, I'll buy boxes of clothes for your children because I didn't have. And the only excuse you come up with is, I don't know what came over me. So I asked her, I said, why is that thing not coming over me? Why is he only one-sided? Yeah? Then she now tells me that, oh no, it's not me. I didn't really say that. It's people that were telling me these things.
I say, my problem is not what was said, it's why it was said to you. Why didn't they go to someone else? Because your heart is in a bad place. So God told me to forgive. It was one of the hardest things I had to do at the time, because I've done harder now. I've encountered even worse things than that. And what I had to do at the time. You know what God said? He said, pray for those who despitefully use you. I don't know about you, but I have been despitefully used in my life. I carried a picture and I put it inside my Bible. And I open my Bible and I'm praying and crying. It's not further than that prayer. God was telling me exactly what to pray. See, you can't do this journey. You can't be a Christian successfully, without the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You cannot. Stop deceiving yourself. Stop deceiving yourself. I'll tell you the truth today. You are either a Christian or you are not. But if you're going to be a Christian, you have got to do the work. You have to do the work. There will be times when you will be totally broken, but it's for your own good. So I would carry her picture and put it in my Bible, and I would pray, and God would be telling me, I will bless her. I will pray. You will bless her. Ah! It's as if somebody is choking me, knife is on my chest. And you say, I will bless her children. I say, you will bless her children. You will, and tears will be running down. You know those kind of tears? Tears are coming. Kata is coming. Smoke is coming. Everything. Hey God. My body is shaking. I don't know. I don't know about the rest of you, but when somebody has offended me, you know that kind of serious offense, your chest will be peppering you from your throat down. So it does you, people. So why you not pretend as if you've never been offended? So I was praying that she will prosper in her business, praying that, as in there's no prayer that I not pray on. Even prayer I've not prayed for myself. And God told me that the more you do this, the more your flesh will weaken. The more your flesh will weaken and I will take over, your spirit will be stronger. Ah! I pray for that girl, I'm not even sure I prayed for myself like that before. For over a year. God had to break every anger. Like when I see her, like my body will be shaking. Ah, God will say, no, you speak a blessing. And I couldn't avoid that. We're in the same circles. So there was no way. You know, there are some people you say, I'm done. I'm forgiven. I cannot see this. We're in the same circles. I prayed. Ah. I don't even think I prayed for my husband like that. I prayed till there was love pouring out of me. Today when I say, oh God, I don't even really remember self. If not that I'm just evil, I never remember. That's how much God can work on you and turn your life around if you obey the word. That's a good place to clap. Because that's 1 year's work right there. And you see, the funny thing is that when God does all those kind of things, it's just a stepping stone, because sometimes even greater things that you think you are going through are coming ahead. So if you have seen 99, what is 100? So people have offended me. I mean, someone hurt me, and then unfortunately for me, see my mind, Kai. I don't know. God did my mind in a way. It's interesting that I have a strong, very strong prophetic gift. So people that are very close to me know that I can tell you categorically, this is going to happen to you in a couple of days, or this is what you need to avoid. As in, I'll just tell you like that. Sometimes I wouldn't even know. Someone did something to me, and then I started having visions of her dead. Like I was seeing corpses of her. And I knew some certain things were going to happen to her. She was going to have a major surgery. Some things I just knew, you know. And God shows me these things so that I can pray. Okay? Now, unfortunately, me and this person had quarreled. So I just moved on with my life. Like, another bad habit that I'm working on right now is the fact that when someone hurts me, I log out. So I just put a wall. I'll be smiling, doing everything, but I have no feeling towards you. So I'm indifferent. So it's not hatred, it's not love, I'm just indifferent. Like, you don't exist. You are there, but I mean, I don't see you. You know what I mean? So I had gotten to that stage with that person. I was like, she doesn't exist. So God was showing me so that I could pray. Mama, like, I'm not, see. Holy Spirit, I'm not talking to you. Lord, I can't. Even I was saying the Lord, I was a bit disturbed. Like, Lord, I can't deal with this right now. Do you understand? Like, you can send someone else, let her pastor pray for her. She has friends, she has family, her mother is alive. Let them pray for her. I'm not dealing with this right now. And you know how God will not let you rest. I want to put food in my mouth. I will just see vision of this person dead. I said, we eat. We eat. I'm not fasting. I will eat. I will close my eyes to sleep. I will see visions of this person dead. Sometimes we drip in our hand. So after a few weeks, someone had called me that she was in the hospital, and it was that, this person is in hospital. We need to pray. Pray waiting. So the Holy Spirit now told me, since I've been telling you don't want to do it, I'm going to keep sending people to you. So I just picked up my phone one day and called, and I did a video call. So I told the person to just put their phone in front of her and all that, and I prayed with her. And at that moment that I prayed with her, I felt a release. There's a peace that comes from forgiveness. See, you won't even know you are in prison until you let that person go. Because there's no way you are holding somebody in prison that you are not watching over the person. So two of you are in prison. It just depends on what side of the bar we are watching from. So I let go. And I just prayed. I said, God, you know what? I need you to heal her. She will not die. And I told her, you will not die. You will not die. You'll be healed in Jesus' name. She's better today. She's healed. But it was a hard thing for me because I felt like, God, why don't you even talk to these people before they offend me? Why is it only me that used to come and tell this thing? That I should forgive. Why can't you tell them not to do me bad thing? But God will never give you something that he doesn't trust that you can handle. So when people offend you, God needs you to forgive them. He needs you to release them, to release the offense, to release the pain. Basically, the point is this. Don't let people change who you are, okay? Don't let people cause you to become evil just because they too are evil. Because someone does you wrong doesn't mean you should also do back wrong in return. So anytime someone offends you, your approach should be what the word says. And that is what love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love is not even easily offended. And I can tell you this categorically, because this was one of the things that has saved my life. Love is your greatest weapon. When you fight with love, God always fights for you. Always. So people will offend you, yes. People will cause you to deal with unforgiveness and anger, yes. But God expects you to not be led by your feelings, but to manage your feelings. Were you blessed tonight? Can we rise to our feet?